Baker Street, the podcast in which I, Chris Phillips, report on my teaching, research, and whatever else might occur to me to talk about. In this February 8th, 2011 installment, one of the things that I've found myself talking about a great deal lately is the weather. I think we are in the first week of the new year in which we do not have snow or ice accumulation, and I am very happy about this. I no longer have to wear ice cleats to go to work. I no longer have to watch where I take every single step on my way to work, and I don't have to dodge cars as I walk down the middle of the street. These are all great things, because now I can start focusing on the classroom a bit more again. In this installment, I'd like to talk about one thing that is new to my classroom this semester, or maybe my classrooms as a group. It is the first time that I've assigned digital audio recordings in every single one of my courses. I started doing this in my 387 course, my advanced seminar on American 19th century poetry. And I started to do this because I wanted students to understand how important orality is in this period. I wanted them to understand why meter and rhyme matter so much, why a poem would be written in what seems to be a sing-song manner. A lot of it is because it makes it easier to memorize, it makes it easier to perform, to communicate something to another person. We're used often to reading poetry silently today, but that was only brought in as a standard school practice in the 1880s, 1890s. Before then, most people experienced poetry as a spoken form, maybe even separate from the written form, even though many people would silently read as well as read with family, friends, classmates, and so forth. What I wound up doing for this class was to have them create audio anthologies as their final assignments. They would have to find poems they found interesting, figure out ways to interpret them out loud, and over a series of takes, often, produce recordings in which they expressed those meanings that they had arrived at as critics. I loved this assignment. The students spent hours and hours, in many cases, on this assignment, and had a lot of fun doing it as well. And some of the things that came out of that poetry changed the way I looked at some of these poems. I enjoyed it so much, I created a scaled-down version of that assignment for my 205 class, Literary Questions, a sophomore-level literature course. And I'm repeating that assignment this semester in that course. Students are reading aloud in class to prepare for it, but they're also going to be doing an intensive assignment with one particular poem in which they write a written analysis, and they also will produce a recording that will reinforce that analysis and vice versa. The new assignment this semester is in my 110 class, College Writing, in which I'm having students write a 5-minute lecture that they will submit in a Word document and also in MP3 format as they read their own lecture. I've been stressing the spoken word a lot in that course this semester, stressing conversation as a way of doing peer review, and also as a way of starting your writing process, just to figure out what's in your head, because for many students, they can speak about what they want to write about more easily than they can do the actual writing. I also stress the importance of the spoken word in editing, that if you read something out loud, that's the best way to gauge whether you've put something in the way that you want to, whether it makes sense, whether the grammar is correct, and so forth. But I wanted to push the envelope and have students actually spend time with this genre that they are very familiar with as receivers. I teach a lot of science and engineering students in 110, and they are preeminently accustomed to being lectured at in classes, to absorb those lectures, and then to produce work, often in problem sets or lab reports, in which they show that they have properly absorbed and processed that material. But I'd like the students to think about what it takes to produce a lecture, not so that they will be able to critique their professors, but so that they will be able to think more critically about what is being communicated to them and how they can more actively organize what they're hearing. And also so that they can think about their own writing as they experience these hours and hours of communication that professors have often spent a good number of hours preparing for them. As I've reflected on how I got into all this audio, I've realized that it started for me in graduate school, as I was working on my chapter on Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. I'm not sure how I got the idea that the best way to go through Evangeline and the Song of Hiawatha would be to read them out loud. I think part of it was because their meters are so unfamiliar today. Very few poets will write in trochaic tetrameter, as the Song of Hiawatha is. And almost no one will write in dactylic hexameter, which is what Evangeline was written in. Reading these out loud helped me to get these poems so under my skin that as I worked through the practice of writing criticism going through this chapter, I found myself able to approach Longfellow as a major poet. And in fact, one of my dissertation committee members commented on this to me, saying, "You have treated Longfellow here not as a man who needs defense, but as a man who actually is a force to be reckoned with, who is a major poet, who needs no defense, but only serious engagement." And I consider that one of the greatest accomplishments of my dissertation, and I think reading out loud helped me to do that, in some ways that I'm not sure that I can articulate. But as I'm spending more and more time working with the spoken word, and thinking about how this plays into my classroom and how it can work into my students' work and into their lives, I'm finding this is a very powerful part of who I am as a teacher and what I want to get out of being a teacher. I think this is part of why I appreciate being at a liberal arts college, because the spoken word and the bodily presence that often comes with the spoken word is so vital. Even as I'm working in digital audio, I'm finding this is bringing me more into person-to-person communication, not less. And I very much appreciate that. I'd like to close this podcast by reading a poem that I've been living with for a number of years. And this will be leading off some of the teaching I do this semester on Emily Dickinson in my poetry seminar. This poem goes by a number of different numbers, depending on who's numbering it. The Johnson number is 262. I forgot to write down what the Franklin number is. And I'm going to read this from my mother's old copy of the Final Harvest edition of Emily Dickinson's poems. And the first line is, "The brain is wider than the sky." The brain is wider than the sky. 4. Put them side by side. The one the other will contain with ease. And you beside. The brain is deeper than the sea. 4. Hold them, blue to blue. The one the other will absorb, as sponges, buckets, do. The brain is just the weight of God. 4. Heft them, pound for pound. And they will differ, if they do, as syllable from sound. Well, thank you for listening. And again, if you would like to make any comments on this podcast, feel free to post them on my website. And until next time, may you find good words and delight in the words that find you.